Unlike most times, I can say that I've looked forward to this time for a while, especially since Marissa has been added to the Lord's church by her obedience and faith to the gospel. And just last Wednesday, our sister Anna was added to the church through her obedience to the faith and immersion. So the lesson I have today is especially for those who maybe have not heard it for the first time, and for those who have heard it many times. A lot of you are in that situation. You've heard this lesson all your life, but I think it's important that we know why we do the things that we do when we come together. I had a man who was an elder here for a long time, Brother Chad Freeman. He told me that before he became a Christian and before he became a member of the Lord's body, that he picked this group because they had a scripture for everything they did. And I think that that is the most important thing that you can keep in mind. And to know what you're supposed to do requires that we know His Word. And it was written with this in mind, that it has everything that we need that pertains to godliness and eternal life. There's nothing missing in the Scriptures that we need. Everything is there. Important thing is, get to know it. And we do that not in one big bite or in one big session, but a little bit here and a little bit there, day after day, year after year, and decade after decade. I can say that I still learn things as we go through the Gospel of Luke. Maybe I knew them 20 years ago, but I renew them. Or should I say, re-know them as we go day by day. So that's, you know, Paul said, I make no apologies for going over these things again because they are important for us, even today. A young man came to Jesus one time and asked him, what are the greatest commandments? And Jesus said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." And just as love was the most single thread throughout the Old Testament, so it is in the New. Love to God, love to others, and love to yourself. There is a debt of love and duty owed to God, Jesus Christ our Lord, and owed to others, our neighbors, our friends, and relatives, and to ourselves. If we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, don't we need to love ourselves? And we do that by knowing and obeying the Word of God. There's no greater love that you can do for yourself than to do that thing. Jesus said, well, let's go to Acts 2 and begin there. It was read this morning. I want to first make a list and see if this is correct. As we gathered here this morning, the first thing we did, we assembled together in this place. As I remember, we sang a song, we prayed, we opened God's Word, we had a break. And that's probably the loudest part of our association together. That's when we mingle together. That's when we learn what's going on in one's life. You know, the announcements too. You know, those are important. You know, that's where we announce learning opportunities, where we can go to this place or that place and have a special study and so forth. And it's also when we learn when people are having difficulty and sicknesses and that type of thing. And, you know, I've been in that spot where people offered prayers for me. And, you know, I didn't always know that people cared for me. You know, I didn't always know that people loved me and that my welfare was important to other people. But during the announcements, being as one who was lifted up in prayer, I found that out. So I think that's a very important thing we do as well. Then we called our assembly together and we sang and we read publicly from God's Word. We sang some songs. We gave a collection, sang. Oh, there was a prayer in there. Sang Lord's Supper. We sang another song, and then me. That's what we did. And we will, if I finish, we will offer a gospel invitation to those who like to obey the gospel, and then we will sing a song, and then we will offer a closing prayer. So that's what we do. And we do these things because that's what we find in the New Testament that the disciples of Christ do when they come together. And I don't believe, as I have studied the Bible, that there's anything we've missed. If there is, get with me. But anyway, let's start in Acts, the second chapter. This is after 3,000 people heard, believed, repented, and were immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And God added them to the church because of their faith and their obedience. And then it says, after that, and that's where some of us are today. Now, what after that? And there's more to it than I'm going to be able to get to today, but I'm going to deal with what God wants us to do as a body. And so, number one, in the second chapter of Acts, verse 42, first thing we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And everything that the apostles taught that we need to know is in these scriptures. We have four gospels which tell about the history, the birth, the ministry, the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus taught, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his institution of the Lord's Supper. We find that in those four books. The book of Acts is more or less a book of history, but it also has the beginnings of the apostles' teaching. And this is what the disciples first did. They devoted themselves. When you devote yourself to your profession and you're conscientious about it, you're into it. You knuckle down and you do the hard things because you're devoted to it. And this is what they did. And they listened to the apostles. You know, and why do they do that? Why would they do? What makes an apostle like James was an apostle, but those 12 men, what made them so special? Well, I would like us to read that because that's very important. Why should we listen to them more than any other people? And I'd like to turn and read, and I'm going to do a lot of reading because I'd rather you hear what the Lord through the Holy Spirit had to say than what Ed has to say. And in John, the 14th chapter in verse 26, Jesus knows he's going to go away and not be with his the apostles any longer. And he says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I have spoken to you." He didn't say that to any other people. He said it to those 12. Chapter 15, verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth." That's important. The Spirit of truth. That's what we hear from the Holy Spirit. Truth. "Who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness me because you have been with me from the beginning." And we call those people the witnesses, the eyewitnesses. Those are the men that touched Jesus and ate with Jesus and laughed with Jesus. And those are the people that heard what he had to say and saw the things that he did. They saw him die. They saw him buried. They saw him resurrected on the third day. And after that, they saw him ascend into heaven. Chapter 16, verse 8, "And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Into all the truth. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you." And those things were never said to any other people. And when those people died, the message was over. The gospel of salvation was complete. The doctrine was complete and sufficient to the salvation of souls. That's why we listen to them. Paul said when there was controversy concerning people that were adding things to the gospel of Christ in the book of Galatia, he said, "If anybody teaches any other gospel, they are liars and hypocrites, and don't believe them." Everything that we need has happened now. So we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. That is so important, the fellowship. It's so hard to make it on your own. It's so hard when you feel that you're the only one in the room, or the only one in your neighborhood, or city, or in the world, or in your country, that know Jesus and love him and try to follow him the best that they can. I know I have been lifted up by your fellowship that I've experienced over the years. And it's so important that we gather together consistently with one purpose in mind: to love God and worship him in spirit and truth, and to love one another, and to teach one another, and to exhort one another, and to be an example to one another, and bear with one another the burdens of life, and rejoice with one another when one rejoices, and to weep with one another when one is deep in sorrow. What a fellowship God has created for us. And if there was no eternal life in heaven, there's no better way to live on earth than what Jesus has provided for us. No better way. The fellowship. I'm sorry. To the breaking of bread. We read, or we can read, I don't remember now if we read it, but I'd like to read you why we do exactly what we do in the breaking of bread and what that means. It means a couple different things. Matthew 26:26 is a passage that we'll read concerning this. It's when, now as they were eating, so Jesus was with his disciples and they were eating the Passover meal. And in the midst of this meal, he paused and he took two elements. Jesus took bread, which was unleavened bread, maybe similar at least what we had this morning. It was bread that had no yeast in it. No leavening. So Jesus took that bread and he blessed it. We prayed for it. And we broke it. It was broken. And he gave it to the disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body. And what he meant by this is to signify my body, which was broken for you. And on the cross, as his hands and feet were nailed, and after he died, Roman soldier thrust his spear into the side of Jesus, and forthwith came water mixed with blood. So his body was broken. And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, which we did, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so that's what this cup of the fruit of the vine is. That's what they would have been drinking at that Passover feast. And so he took a portion of it and he blessed it. And he gave it to them and said, this represents the blood that was poured out for you. And when we come together as the Lord's body, and we drink of it, we're showing the Lord's death to one another. That's one of the things and the most important thing that we have in common with one another. That we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. He loved and cared for us, that he was obedient all his life, even unto the death of the cross, which was a horrible way to die. And this signifies that, and we signify it to each other. And we actually signify it to unbelievers too. How many of you sat in the audience and had someone ask you, what is that about? Why do you do that? Our young ones ask that question. And we are glad to tell them why. And that's why we do what we do there. And the prayers. Of course, Jesus prayed so many times. And as we read in the New Testament letters and so forth in the book of Acts, that the disciples always prayed. The Apostle Paul prayed by himself. He prayed with other people. And so forth. That's why we do that. We sang a lot. Why do we sing? Well, Ephesians, let's go to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2:18. No, that's not right. Is it 3? 5. Oh, yeah. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms. Psalms are basically those things written in the Old Testament. Many songs have been based upon the psalms, things that David wrote and the others. So we sing those things. And hymns. Hymns are songs specially written about the gospel. Things like that. And spiritual songs. Songs that are spiritual in nature. Not rock and roll, but songs based on our faith. And things like that. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And the heart is a common instrument given to us, and so is our lips. And we sing because God gave each and every one of us those two things. And we sing to edify one another. We sing to praise God. And we do not play because playing is music, singing is music. But we sing because that's what God told us to do. You think the Holy Spirit knew the difference between singing and playing instruments? I think He did. And I think that's why He said sing. Well, the Old Testament had singing. Well, the Old Testament had animal sacrifices too. But those things ceased when they came into the church. And it wasn't until about the 19th century that singing or playing became a part of most religious organizations. Until that time, people thought it was wrong. And we still do. We sing because that's what the Holy Spirit said to do. He said, sing. One thing I have noticed when I go to Christian music concerts and they're playing music, I seldom know what they're singing, what they're saying when they sing. Drowned out by the clanging and the banging. But what we did this morning, I understood. I understood what we were saying to one another. I understood what we were saying in praise to God. Can't always do that when we play. So that's why we sing. That's some of the reasons why we sing. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches. Colossians 3:16, it's about the same thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And we all understood those words as we were praising God and we were admonishing one another. And did you learn something? That simple song we sung just before, God is so good. He cares for me. He loves me. He answers prayer. I mean, those are great things. And we actually heard one another seen them. So we are admonished and we learn things. 1 Corinthians 16:1, we might have read that. So why do we take up a collection every week? And why do we do it in the way that we do it and no other way? Well, First Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, and it's not just to the Corinthians, because he says, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so these were mainly all the places that Paul had been, or most of them, so you also are to do. So he's setting out a common pattern for us to follow. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And, you know, people come to us all the time, and sometimes we reach out to other people with help, and we don't have to call 50 people to have funds to help a needy family. We don't have to call 50 people to help some brother or sister in a far-off place who needs help. We can do that. It's there. It's ready to use in the Lord's work. When we have an evangelist come, or we say we're going to support some work in that evangelist is doing in other churches and other areas, we don't have to call 50 people and say, do you have something to give for this work? We decided on that work, and we decided we'd make the funds available by doing exactly what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians and to all the churches in Galatia, the way to do it. We don't have garage sales. We don't have cake sales. We have hard-working, earnest people who come who want to be able to help something greater than themselves. And we can do great things together, more than the one can do by themselves. So that's why we have a collection on the first day of the week. Why the first day of the week? Well, if we wanted to know what day are we to come together, to assemble together, there's only one place we can go. And that's Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, he's talking about the Lord's Supper, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. So that's why. Where else would you go for an answer? When are the disciples to meet? When are we to break the bread of the Lord's Supper? On the first day of the week. And that comes every 7 days. So that's why we do that. Let's see. 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scriptures. And that's why we read from the book of Luke 17, and then we talked about those scriptures. We read from Acts, the 2nd chapter, and now I'm exhorting you on those passages. That's why we do that. There's nothing more important we can hear than the Word of God. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scriptures, to exhortations, and that's kind of what I'm doing now, as well as teaching to some of you. It's not learning something new, but it's putting in remembrance why we do the things that we do. And some of you, it might be new. First Timothy 4:14. 15. Practice these things. That's what we're doing today. We practice singing. Practice means doing. We do these things. Immerse yourself in them. That's completely given. Give yourself completely to them. So that all may see your progress. We see one another grow. I've been here since I was 16. I hope you've seen some growth in me. I've seen growth in some of you. All of you, really. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And I'm running out of time, but you know, whether there's just two of us or 200 of us, we can do these things. And Christ is there. Even when you're alone in prison, Christ is there. Even when you're by yourself, Christ is there. And together, He is in the midst of us. We are His holy temple. Each one of us, a very important part. So that's a little bit about... It's interesting. I usually have 4 or 5 pages. Today I broke one and I didn't get through all of it. So now you have heard the gospel in part. You've heard how important it is to believe and obey and to immerse yourself into the practice of the religion that Jesus taught us and left for us and His apostles instructed us in. So we're going to sing one final song. And during this song, we encourage you to think seriously about your salvation. And if you're ready, we are ready to immerse you into the kingdom of heaven as we stand and sing.